Well, welcome to worship. I'm Michael Stewart. I'm one of the pastors here that Kim Seitz, you heard, said a few words. We're honored by your presence. If you're a newcomer, we're glad you're here. Our prayers, this will be a good time for us all together. It will strengthen our souls and spirits in our walk with Christ. I want to pray today. Be in prayer for Joy Burris. John, to many of you, Joy had, I guess you'd call it emergency surgery yesterday, doing okay. Be in the hospital this week. Others that we know, there'll be a time for you to name a name or say a concern in the world or in your circle of acquaintances or where you work or school or we'll conclude with the Lord's Prayer in a moment after we have prayed together. Let us go to God in prayer. Lord of life, we praise you for that you gave life to us. We praise you that in you, our fears are met with love. We praise you that you're for us and not against us. We praise you that you're as close to us as the beating of our heart or every breath we take. We give thanks. There is no place we can go where you are not there. Lord, we pray for those who find things tough on these days. For those who are struggling with relationships in their families or those dear to them. We pray for those who face treatments and therapies and surgeries and recuperations. Give comfort and strength. We pray for those who grieve and mourn. For those who suffer great losses. We pray for all who are finding their way. And we give thanks for all who have felt the nudge of your Spirit that brought them to worship on this day. Lord, hear the prayers we offer. Lord, we pray for those who lead us and for those who seek to serve through elected office. Keep them true and honorable. Lord, we pray for those who teach and for those who respond when we're in danger and trouble. For those who serve the cause of peace or freedom far away from home and in difficult and dangerous places. We thank you for your love which sustains us, for your presence which enables us to live life one more day. And all of this we know of in Jesus, the one who taught us to pray and say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, we've been thinking about how God has done beautiful things for us and how we get to do beautiful things for God. Last Sunday evening, a good many of you were here. We had a meal together and you cut out hearts and Dave and Helen Freest have turned it into something beautiful. Our work, they transformed and we're grateful for them. I want to read a story, a Bible story. It comes from the book of the Acts of the Apostles. Now, that was written by Luke, the same one who wrote the gospel. But this is sort of the second chapter of what happens when the church is just getting going. So here, the third chapter of Acts, written by Luke. This is after Jesus has been crucified and raised and ascended to heaven. One day, Peter, that's Simon Peter, and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer at 3:00 in the afternoon. And a man, lame from birth, was being carried in. People would lay him daily at the gate of the temple called the Beautiful Gate, so that he could ask for alms from those entering in the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked them for alms. Peter looked intently at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, I have no silver or gold, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately his feet and his ankles were made strong. Jumping up, he stood and began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. All the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized him as the one who used to sit and ask for alms at the Beautiful Gate at the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Lord, for your love in us and for us and with us, we praise you. May your healing power touch us and heal us in all the ways we need to be healed. Amen. Well, you are such wonderful people. I hate to tell you, hate to break the news to you, but I need to tell you something if you hadn't already figured it out, and that is this: if you live long enough, you're going to get hurt. You're going to take some hits. You're going to be wounded. No one gets through life unscathed. Now, some of the wounds and injuries we have are obvious to others. People can see them. They know about them. They're visible. But there are some of our wounds and some of our injuries that are not so obvious to others. Some of our wounds are invisible. They're hurts of the heart. They are wounds of the soul and the spirit. Some of those things that come our way as injuries or wounds, some of them other people do to us. And some of them are self-inflicted. And some of them is just the pain that comes from being a human being. have you ever watched a three-year-old go off to the first day of preschool? I mean, there are tears. I'm talking about the mamas, mainly. And what about being a teenager? Oh, my Lord. You know, so many pains and hurts and just tough things. And then if you move away from home, all the separation stuff. If you should decide that you want to get married, pain of separation from the family you're in, and then the pain of trying to adjust to having somebody always looking over your shoulder and, you know, right there on your case. Of course, some of us need somebody looking over our shoulder and helping us. And then if you should have children some of those stuff are choices you make, and they can bring wounds to you. And some of them, if you just keep living and get old enough, you're going to have some things that hurt. So you don't get through life without some loss. And that brings grief. And things happen to us that people do to us. And if we cannot forgive, then every time we think of what they did to us, it just opens it right back up. It just wounds it. And then we have fears, you know, fears, will there be enough? Will I have a place? Will they accept me? Will I have what I need? All of those kind of fears. Fears that somebody's going to hurt us again. And then when we get those fears going and those anxieties going, we deal with them sometimes in just awful ways. That sometimes becomes addictive, trying to just deaden the pain. And loneliness, lack of a community, moving to new places, broken relationships, worrying about the future, just all that stuff. And sometimes we hurt because we feel the absence of God more than the presence of God. Like I said, I hate to break the news to you, but if you live long enough, you're going to have some hurts. And you're going to have some wounds. If you live long enough, you're going to need some healing in your life. So I am glad I get to tell you some good news. You are in the right place this morning. The good news is that all us wounded folks are in the right place here today. Because Jesus is a healer. He's called the great physician in some places. Jesus is one who knows how to repair wounded spirits and souls. He heals broken hearts. You know, in the Bible, wherever Jesus goes, he's healing people. Now, he preaches and he teaches, but what he's teaching about is the kingdom of God. I translate that as the presence of God in our midst. And he's trying to get people to see the kingdom is in your midst, the realm of God, the presence of God is there. See it. Live in it. And whenever he does that, that opens channels of healing. So Jesus goes around, he does this, he teaches, he preaches, he heals, but then he's crucified. And he's raised from the dead, and he's not present anymore in bodily form, and he ascends to heaven. And so the question is, can anybody be helped now? Is there going to be any healing now? The book of Acts answers that question. In chapter 1, there's this story of Jesus returning to the Father, the ascension, we call it. But in the very next chapter, chapter 2, there is a story of the Spirit, this mysterious Holy Spirit, like a rush of wind, coming on all these Christians gathered. And so all of a sudden, this Spirit of God has come on them. And in chapter 3, they are out healing. And so you figure out, oh, there is still the possibility of healing. But now it's going to come through not the physical presence of Jesus. It's going to come through people like Simon Peter and through John. And we get to this story of this man. He's sitting by the beautiful gate. I wonder if he thought it was a beautiful gate. It was one of the gates to Jerusalem. And he's sitting there, and he has been carried there. As an adult or a grown up, have you ever had anybody carry you? Not carry you, you know, across the threshold or carry you, but because you had to be carried, you know, on a gurney. This man had to be carried. And they would put him by the side of this gate. People were coming in to go to worship, prayer service at the temple in the afternoon. And, you know, you hope they might be in a generous mood going to worship. And so they'd toss him a few coins. And he calls out, asks Simon and asks John for some money. And I don't know, I ain't got any cash on me, but I do have something for you. And he says, I invite you to be healed in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. He has, he gets the healing he needs. Now, so often that story focuses on the healing of his legs, which is the specific part of his body that needed healing. But here's the thing. Have you ever thought about this? Everybody in the Bible that got healed, everybody that Jesus touched and healed, and everybody that Simon or Paul or John, everybody of those that got healed, you know what they all have in common now? They're dead. Sorry. I mean, all of the healings that Jesus did were temporary. Do you ever think of that? He raised Lazarus, but Lazarus lived to a ripe old age and he died. All of the physical healings in the Scripture are temporary. You know? We don't know what happens to this man. He doesn't have a name, but we imagine, you know, he gets up, he learns to walk around. But the day will probably come when he can't walk anymore. So a lot of the healings are wonderful, but they're temporary. But something else happens to this man. And this is something that can happen, I think, to everybody. And this is something that can last forever. What happens is the last verses, and it's almost takes as many sentences for Luke to describe it, because the man, as he is healed, what does he do? He goes into the temple. You realize that over in Leviticus, it lists all the people who can't go into the temple. And it's a category of people who have infirmities, physical limitations. And a lot of them will keep you out from the innermost part. And you certainly couldn't be a priest or work up at the altar. But what happens is the story focuses on this guy going in, and he goes in to praise. He has been reunited with the community of faith, and now the presence of God is a reality to him. I mean, he has been healed physically, but there's another healing, I am certain, goes on. It's not only the outer part, but the beginning of the healing of the inner part. His spirit being healed. His heart being opened to the God who's the source of all healing. I like this story because it tells me, first of all, that there is the possibility of healing for us. And Lord knows we need it. Sometimes God will heal our bodies in miraculous, wonderful, beautiful ways. More often, I think, God will heal us by using physicians, and therapists, and nurses, and x-ray technicians, and pharmacist, you know. We get healed. God uses those people to heal us too. But this story reminds me about even those times when physical bodies cannot be re-knit or healed. God does another kind of healing. It's the healing of our hearts. The healing of our souls. As we open ourselves to the power of the risen Christ within us, it has this power to change us, to deal with our inner wounds. And we figure out how to deal with our hurts, because most of the time when we get hurt, what we do is we just pass it on down. You know, we get rid of it by throwing it on to somebody else. And what we get in this with Jesus is this power to help us forgive, because, you know, when we can't forgive, it works on us. It's bad. And Jesus helps us with that. We receive this grace so that we can be reconnected with people we've been estranged from, that we need to be reconciled to. And there are some days when we just don't know if we got the strength to go on. And this presence of the risen Christ, as we open ourselves to it, it strengthens us to do another day. And it takes away this spirit of Christ, some of our craziness, the way we got to sometimes demonize others, the way we live with resentment, our judgmentalism, our bitterness. He works with us on that. And as we allow Him to become alive in us, He begins to repair our souls and give us a spirit. And over time, that will transform us. I promise you, I know God does that. I have seen it. I have experienced it. That's the first part of this story. The first good news is there is this possibility for healing for our lives. But there's another part. And this is the second part of the story. And it's about us who are in the process of being healed. We're all wounded healers, this teacher said once. We who are wounded healers get to also help others in their healing. We become conduits, channels for the healing power of the risen Christ through us. And we get to work to help the healing of the whole world. The Bible teaches that the church is in the soul repair business. We're in the healing business. We don't do this on our own. We are carriers of the Spirit of Christ. And by that power, minds, bodies, communities, relationships, they get healed. And the world is on its way to healing, cosmic healing. Well, we have some people in our church, lots of people, who have put themselves forward to be channels of healing. I want you to hear from one of them today, Will Etheridge. Will, one of our youth pastor, and this last summer, he and some others from our congregation, some that are here today, were in Ecuador. And tell us what you did.
Well, we had five from our church, including me, to go. Kathy Weatherholt, Craig Carradine, Kathy's mom, Jenny McCartney, Jacob Duren, and Christy Barnes all went. And we did two things when we were down there. We were two different groups. One group, we worked in construction. We were building a daycare for a church. The original daycare building was probably about a third of the size of this gym, and it housed about 150 children. So we were building columns, as you see in the picture, for the second floor of the church. The other part that we were doing is we were working with kids. We were doing VBS type games, teaching, and basically loving on the kids.
So you got the columns built, the supports.
Yeah.
That was a week worth of work. Okay, carrying concrete and.
Yes.
Tying steel?
Yeah, lots of tying steel, lots of mixing concrete by hand.
So that's what you do in the picture, mixing it there. It's not as easy when you have a... So how do you connect the mixing of concrete and the tying of steel to the healing? What healing will eventually come from that?
Well, I've been going on this Ecuador trip for about 7 years, and I've got to see a lot of healing being done, and... To answer the question, we're building a building to meet two needs. We're meeting physical needs and we're meeting emotional needs, like you were talking about. The physical thing is the children that are there are being left at home while parents are working. They do not have a safe place to go. They do not have, they maybe get one meal a day. With the new daycares that we're getting to build down there, they're having a place to go during the day. They're getting a kindergarten degree so they can go to school and break the poverty cycle. They're getting two meals a day with protein in it so they can eat. And also one of the excellent features about this building is when it's done, it will have a medical room in it where doctors can come in and treat the children. Doctors and dentists can come in and treat the children.
What must this do for a parent, say he's got a preschooler?
I'm sure it just takes a load off their minds because these parents, we were working in the capital city, but these parents maybe get $30 a month to live on, and it gives them a little peace of mind so they can go out and work without having to worry about their kids, you know, being left at home in these little bitty shanties. It gives them just peace of mind.
What does it do to y'all? I mean, you've been doing this for a while, and for some, this was the first trip. What does that do to your heart when you participate in these things?
When I always come back from these trips, I always say, you know, I've been healed and I've been humbled. Because when we go down there, we get to see people that have next to nothing. We get to see people that, you know, can barely make ends meet and have to work 15 hours a day just to eat and to provide for their kids. But they do it with a smile. They do it, you know, wholeheartedly, and they do what they do it because they love it. One of the things that one of the people down there that has made an impact on my life the most, his name is Edwin, and he's the engineer that oversees the construction. He has a master's degree that he received up here in the States. He could come up here to the States and make about five times what he makes right now and live in a nice big, you know, five-bedroom house. But he doesn't. He stays down there, and he works for a fifth of the price building daycares for children. And one of his favorite sayings is, it's for the children. Mm. It's for the children. And, you know, we get so busy and caught up. I get so busy and caught up here is when I go down there and I see someone like him working as hard as he can, you know, for children and to share the love, that heals me and puts my life into perspective. Thank
you. Well, we're grateful. Thank you. We're proud of what you did. Thank you. You know, that's what church does. We just sort of continue the healing ministry of Jesus. We have in some parts of our lives found help and healing. And so even before we're made perfect and whole, we just go ahead and share what we have received. We talked about that as God has done something beautiful for us, and so we want to do something beautiful for other people. The church, you know, it heals people by the community it creates that gathers around them when we need them. I think there's healing in music, you know. It heals our souls. There's so many ways that through church, Holy Communion and baptism, that has a healing way to it. It puts us at one with God. I like to think that everything the church does is somehow aiming, you know, at making that happen, furthering the healing work of Christ in hearts and bodies and communities. I mean, just think that generations from now, there will be children whose lives will be changed because of the facility they had that people from here, that you help send these people. You will be healing, helping families be more whole that have not even yet been born. Isn't that amazing? It's this mystery of Christ alive and lifting us up. Today is a day in the life of our church, and if you're a newcomer, don't panic. we talk about money a little bit. We don't really talk about it much, but there'll be a chance at the end of the service for those who would like to indicate their support for our ministry for the coming year. The reason I give money to the church is because I am amazed at the way it gets translated into acts of loving service. Missionaries, schools, daycares, people that will be served this week here, around the world, we calculated. We've got mission efforts that we contribute to on every continent. There is stuff going on because of what you do in our gifts. Passing on the healing in one way or another. Let me close with a story. It comes from Will Campbell. Will Campbell, he's an old man now. He was a preacher. Born in Mississippi, lives in Tennessee now. He wrote this story. Some of you may have read it. Brother to a Dragonfly. It was about growing up in the South and born during the Depression, Great Depression, and he writes about his grandmother Betty. This was rural Mississippi, poor. He talks about his grandmother Betty and said she would come to church and said. She would sit up front with Miss Emma and Miss Lola and Miss Faye and Miss Irene and Aunt Sue. He said none of them were aunts and none of them were misses. They were all older ladies. But said that's what said. He said so on the Sunday after Christmas, Grandma Betty walked into the little church wearing her new flannel bathrobe. Now it had been sent to her by a son who was off in the army, and he had sent his mama a new flannel bathrobe, brightly colored plaid, for Christmas. And so she walked in to church the next day wearing it. Her daughters-in-law were horrified, you know, has Grandma Betty gone around the bend, she's wearing her. And so she sat up there with Miss Emma and Miss Lola and Aunt Sue. And so after the service, the
daughters-in-law's kind of, you know, got her aside. And Grandma Betty, you wore your flannel bathrobe. She said, yes, I did. She said, this is the most beautiful thing I have. And Jesus deserves the most beautiful thing I have. And she said, besides, I don't have a bathroom. It's 1933 in rural Mississippi. Will Campbell tells that story. And he tells it not just about how Grandma Betty gave the most, shared with Jesus the most beautiful thing she had. He said that was the story. He said, but as he reflected on that, he realized the most important part of that story is that she knew that the very best thing she had was a gift. It had been given to her. You know, our lives are gifts. There's not a breath we take that's not a gift, and we breathe, and God has given us another moment. There's no money that comes our way that trace it back. You know, it's all been a gift of God. And so the most amazing thing is that we get to move on and share that. To give to God and to others something beautiful that we have received. So that it would be a beautiful thing. Well, let's pray, shall we? Lord, we're astonished at the richness of our lives. And we are amazed that you have so built this world and this life that we may serve you by what we give and join in your healing work of this creation. Use what we give so that others may know life even as we're finding life in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Go in the name of the one who loves us, as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen.